This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. Cincinnati could be on the verge of seeing the end of fire department brownouts thanks to a new recruit class and $2.5 million of overtime. Fire Chief Richard Braun and Mayor John Cranley rolled out the plan this week that has already reduced the number of brownouts from 5 per day to 2 or less. They say the plan will eventually eliminate them altogether. 41 new firefighters graduated last Friday, and some are already on the job. Braun has applied for a federal grant for another recruit class that would train 50 firefighters. Chief Braun joins us in the studio to talk about brownout staffing and other fire department issues. We are taping this segment of the program, so we won't be able to include your calls or emails. Chief Braun, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
We're talking about the end of brownouts, but I thought that would probably be a good place to start is to define brownout. Some folks may know, but just what is a brownout?
Brownout is generally because of a lack of staffing that you take equipment out of service. And on any given day in the past 4 years, we've been taking out on an average of 5 pieces of equipment every day, which is a saving of 20 people that we don't have on the street.
And the firefighters work 24-hour shifts, correct?
They work 24 on and 48 off.
And you have 26 stations.
26 stations.
And you tried to rotate the brownout so that you didn't take a station completely out of service, just a piece of equipment at that station.
Correct. We strategically take companies out of service. The district chiefs, who are in charge of basically the city on any given day, when they do their staffing reports, will look at where they need to take companies out. And because you don't want to have two companies that are side-by-side browned out, so throughout the city, they'll brown out 5 companies a day.
So when do you know that this, I mean, obviously this is ending. That's a good thing. But
yes.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around the mechanics. When do you know, and when this was happening like 5 per day, when did you know? Was it the day of, the day before? When did you know that you were going to have to brown out 4 or 5 companies on a particular day?
You generally know they do their staffing one day in advance, which is 3 days ahead. So as, for instance, today, they'll be doing their staffing for Friday. And I'm sorry, they'll be doing it for Saturday. This is Wednesday. So they'll know today that they have to brown out 5 companies, and then they'll know which ones they're browning out. And we do it strategically. For instance, we only do double companies, which are companies that have an engine and a ladder in them. And downtown, we have Station 3, and they also take care of the boat. Well, during the summer, there's a lot of things go on at the river and on the weekends. So Truck 3 is never browned out on the weekends in the summer because strategically they have to take the boat down. And so in order to save time and be more efficient, this is what the chiefs look at. What's going on in the city? Where do they need their most staffing? And then that's how they determine what companies are browned out.
And so the firefighters that this would affect, they knew in advance where they needed to report to that particular day?
Yes, the day before, before you leave, you know where you're going to be working the next day. The ideal, obviously, is that you'd be working at the station you're assigned. This is one of the side effects of brownouts is we are shipping people all over the city, which means that they're no longer in an area that they cover and they're very familiar with, working with a crew that they're very familiar with. They're put in areas of the city that they don't know that well. They're put with firefighters that they have never worked with before or worked with very little. And with what we do, it's very important. It's all built around teamwork. And so when you have 2 to 4 people that generally don't work together, it makes the job more dangerous and sometimes more time-consuming because they're not as aggressive as they may have been with people that they have worked with and know.
Yeah, I wonder if brownouts have an adverse impact on the morale of firefighters.
It has a tremendous adverse effect. Because they're, again, as I say, everything that we teach through recruit training is all team concept. And you want things to go seamlessly on a fire scene. Sometimes we take our firefighters for granted because they go in and put the fires out, and it seems seamless, and it isn't. It's a well-orchestrated workforce that goes in, and they have certain jobs that they have to do. And again, when you have to do this, because when you go into fire, you don't see anything. It's not like Backdraft or some of the movies where you can see everything that's going on. It's almost totally black with smoke. And so you're working in an atmosphere with all of this gear on. You're getting tired. It's dangerous. So you want people with you that you know how they act. You know what you can expect of them. They know what they can expect of you. So when you start to tear that down and move it around, then the stress level goes up within the firefighters, and morale goes down. So that's why it's so important. One of the reasons it's so important to stop them, to bring that crew continuity back together again.
The four per apparatus, I think, is part of the contract that the firefighters have with the city. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And some may say, you know, I'm thinking as a citizen, if my house is on fire or I'm having a medical emergency, if you could show up to my house with three, I'd be tickled to death to have three instead of having to wait for four. Mm-hmm. Why is three? Why does it have to be four?
Well, first off, four is the minimum recognized standard in the country. There's the National Fire Protection Association, OSHA, and the Organization for City Managers, and they've all looked at the staffing and the staffing needs and what it takes to put fires out, and the recommended minimum is four. And I think it's very important that I stress minimum, because not optimal, and it's not what's required. It's the absolute minimum that you're supposed to be working for. So when that engine, let's say your house is on fire and an engine shows up and there's four people on it. Well, let's say there's three. You said, why not three? First off, the driver has to run the pump. The driver doesn't go in. They have to lay a hose line from a hydrant. That takes a person. Now you're down to just one person to enter that building to try to put your fire out, or put the fire out and save somebody. So it's just three is just impractical and unsafe to operate with.
What do brownouts do to response time?
It greatly increases the response time of getting all of our equipment on a scene because you have left holes within the city wherever they're at. Prior to the brownouts, we could get a full complement of companies, which is around 18 people on the scene with a little over between 4 and 5 minutes. With brownouts, that's up around 9 minutes. So the first companies will get there. That time hasn't changed very much, but the key is getting your full complement there, because they work in unison. And so as the first company, if it's the engine laying the hose and everything, they're waiting for the ladder company to come, because they're the ones that vent the house. So when they put fire or water on the fire, steam, they want to be able to control it, and that's why we strategically will put a hole in a roof so we can act like a chimney and just go straight out and lessen the damage to the house, and helps also protect the firefighters and or any citizen that may be in the house that are trying to save.
When you've talked to council committees about this, you said that Cincinnati has been lucky. Even with the brownouts, you've had some close calls, but not what you would call a tragedy. Talk about what you mean by those close calls.
Well, for instance, we had a fire on Gilbert about 18 to 24 months ago, and the firefighters saved 10 people out of that burning building. And the ladder company that was closest to that building was browned out that day. We were fortunate, we were lucky, because a ladder company happened to be coming back from another run and was passing that building. If they would have been in quarters and that extra 4 or 5 minutes then would have been taking them to come back, it could have been very disastrous for the people within the building. But since they just happened to be on the road and going by, when we had the unfortunate disaster last January with the two students who passed away, there were a couple companies around there that were browned out that day. But we were fortunate that all of our companies were coming back from another run again, so they were already on the street and could respond, and that cut their response times down and allowed them to pull the students out when they did.
Tell us about the makeup of this new recruit class that is now on the street. I think there were 41 members that graduated last Friday.
41 members graduated.
And just describe a little bit of the makeup. I understand there are more females in this class than in any previous recruit class?
Yes, we had four females. Roughly 10% of the class was female. We had 14 African Americans. They ranged in age from 18 to 36. So it was a great group, very diverse group. They formed together well. It was a really good class. We've had two classes now in the past 2 years, and both of them have been exceptional classes. And I've been around long enough. This is my 40th year in the fire service. And you can see classes that are going to be good and classes that are going to be mediocre. And we've had two extraordinarily good classes come out in the past 2 years.
And you can put most of these people in the service almost immediately.
Correct. All but one has already worked. They started work on Sunday, so they've all been on duty now. The one had a knee injury, and so he'll be off for about a month, and then he'll be able to come back out and get in service. So not too long, and we'll have him out there.
When we were talking earlier, you were talking about the continuity of the crews. No, these are new recruits. They've not done this before. What I mean, and literally, it seems like you're taking them right out of training and throwing them right into the job. Is that common?
What you like to do, and it is common, but if you had, when I said an optimal staffing and minimum, usually if you had an optimal, you'd have an extra person with them. We strategically put them with certain officers and firefighters who are geared and trained to be mentors, and so they're with people who know how to watch out for them and take care of them. So we look at those things, and we put them in places that they're going to be the safest and can be trained as they go in there. I was at Station 3 last night, and they had a new recruit there. It was the first time out, and they did have a run while I was there. And, of course, they get the big eyes, and they're ready to go because it is a lot different than training.
Now, with the new class, you know, that's going to help because you have more people, so you don't have to worry about as many brownouts because you've got more staffing.
Correct.
You're also going to use some overtime to fill in some of the extra slots, at least through the end of June.
Yes, our budget that we had kept us, the overtime kept us at no more than five brownouts a day. And so what the mayor is looking at is letting us maintain that overtime schedule and take the brownouts down to two a day, and sometimes less. For instance, today there's one brownout. I think yesterday we had one, Sunday we had none. So the class is already working. Now this is off vacation time, so this is when we're heavy on staffing anyway. Once we get into the summer months, more people are gone, then that's when the overtime would rise.
And now you have applied for a grant for another class, I believe of 50?
Correct.
From the federal government.
Yes.
How large a grant is that? What does it do? I understand it pays their salaries for 2 years.
It pays for both salaries and benefits mm-hmm. for 2 years. For 50 people, that's roughly $8 million. That is a savings then to the citizens. And we should be hearing, we could even hear as soon as today, if we receive that or not. We're cautiously optimistic. We've been successful with our last two classes have been paid with grant money. So it helps the city and helps our budget because there are salaries we don't have to pay for, which right now there's 80 firefighters on the street that are paid for by federal money, which is almost 10% of our force.
And those firefighters, if they graduate in the fall, would put you up to what you consider full strength.
It would put us up to our authorized strength, correct, and would basically eliminate the brownouts and drastically reduce the overtime.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking with Cincinnati Fire Chief Richard Braun. We are taping this segment, so we can't include your calls or emails. Talk about the training process. I believe it lasts 8 months.
Training goes anywhere from 6 to 8 months. And they learn, they get their state certifications. Many people don't realize how many state certifications a firefighter has to have, but they'll get their EMS, their basic EMS certification. They will get their firefighter, what they call a 240 card, which is 240 hours of firefighter training, which is a state certification. They'll get their inspector's card that they're going to go out and do building inspections. Now, that's a state certification card. So they have at least those three when they come out. Once they're out, we have some that were in the last class, not this class that just graduated, but the one that graduated last year. We're starting a paramedic school, and we'll have 24 paramedics in there. And some of the last group is going to be going through paramedic school. That runs 9 months to become a paramedic, which is another state certification. So, and with all these certifications, they have to maintain them. There's continuing education. So every 3 years you have to recertify, and which is a burden on the department to continue the classes so that everyone can recertify every 3 years. But the recruit training is very intensive. They even go out and do community work. They go to schools. They've gone out and this last year into some homes and helped some elderly and fixing their homes up and getting their yards fixed up. Because we serve the public and we want them to go out and say, okay, this is the public you're serving. We want you to go out and work amongst them.
You talk about, I think you said right now you, on previous federal grants, you have about 80 firefighters, 41 more just came out last week. You could have another 50 by the end of this year. And that covers, like you said, the 2 years of salary, but what's that going to mean for the fire department budget when those federal grant dollars are gone?
Well, as the classes get through their 2 years, we've had people retire during those times. And so they will move into the slots that those retirees are creating and should just move right in and be budgeted through that way. There's some savings there because there's step raises that the firefighters get their first 4 years. So you have your higher paid firefighters retiring and then be replaced with a lower paid firefighter, a newer firefighter who only has 2 years on.
I know the police department has talked about, because of some decisions in the past when there weren't recruit classes, a lot of officers came on at one time. And I think in a couple of 3 years, they're facing mass retirements. What about the fire department?
We're in the same situation. You can see what's going to happen. You can predict the future by looking into the past and seeing when these classes were brought on. And about 25 years ago to 30 years ago in the department, we had a couple classes of 60. And so in a couple of years, they're going to be retiring. And so we'll have to prepare for those. If you don't, you're in the situation we were before, where that's what causes brownout. If you don't have classes, you don't replace these people, they continue to leave and continue to retire, which through attrition continues to take down your department. But you forecast those, you try to put those in your budget, and you may not have to have a class of 40. If you only had 20 retire and you're anticipating, then I may only need a class of 20. If I have 60, then I may need, you know, a class of 50 or 60 to compensate for that loss.
What's the breakdown of the fire department makes medical runs and there's also fire runs. Correct. What's the breakdown of medical versus fire and an incident like that?
It's right around 70%. 70% is EMS and 30% is fire, which is pretty much a national standard.
And if I call 911 for a medical emergency, chances are the first thing I'm going to see is maybe an engine truck before I see a squad.
Correct. We have our 26 engines, which we have around the city, are all paramedic engines. There's a paramedic on it, at least one paramedic and three basics. The truck is fully equipped to handle heart attacks, strokes, and then we have 12 transport vehicles. And the transport vehicles respond with the engine companies and to handle any situation they may come in contact with. A lot of people ask, well, why do you send an engine company? You know, why don't you just send the ambulance? And if you've ever seen anybody work on a heart attack victim or a stroke victim, six people aren't enough, and that's what is there. I mean, it's like when you go to the hospital. They just don't have two people work on you if you're having a heart attack. You get a whole staff of people. Our people are doing the same thing, our paramedics on the street, except they're doing it in the snow or in someone's kitchen, which makes it much more difficult. So that's why we send the staffing we do.
And wasn't the addition of a paramedic to each of those engines, wasn't that something that also benefited the department financially in terms of billing for some of those services?
Our EMS billing is based on the type of services. As if you go to the doctor, what type of service did you receive? And for whatever paramedic level service you receive, you're billed. So, yes, it did it help us in that manner also.
What we talk a lot about your staffing. What about the conditions of your equipment, say the fire trucks, the ambulances? I know you built a new fire station in Westwood, but you've also got some pretty old fire stations.
We have several old fire stations left. We have two we're looking at on Montgomery Road. We have Station 8 and out at Madisonville, Station 49, and they both need to be replaced. They're older stations. They don't have female facilities, and to be honest, they're just they're horrible conditions. And we look at replacing those. So we have a replacement plan, and we've had, like I say, new station 35. So we'll be looking at doing station 8 next. We may have to do station 21 because it is in where MSD is putting in the new sewer system over in Fairmount. So that we'll have to be looking at. But we're continually looking at our stations, continually looking at how we can update them and keep them operational, or if we have to, as these two, we have to replace.
And what about the fire trucks?
The fire trucks are another issue. We have to increase the our replacement. We should be replacing 5 engines and 2 ladders every year. And for the past 2 years, we haven't been able to do that. The capital budget just hasn't been that big. This year, we're getting 1 engine and 1 truck. And down the road, that will hurt us to where we're going to have to come and ask for more equipment. If you don't do it in a manner that's it's a nice uniform manner of 5 a year, then eventually, well, I'm going to need 10 because they're not meeting the standards that the city sets as far as mileage and the how much it costs of their upkeep, and so that we look at that.
And a new fire engine or a new ladder truck has a pretty hefty price tag.
Oh, yes. A new ladder truck, not a tiller. If you get one, it has actually a tiller in the back. That runs almost $1 million. But what we get is about around $800. A new engine is $450,000 to $500,000.
You mean $800,000?
$800,000, yes, yeah. $800,000.
And I'm going to ask, because somebody will ask, what's a tiller?
Well, a tiller is when you see, that goes back to if you were in the Navy. And the tiller is the rudder type that would steer the ship. And the tiller is where you would see the firefighter sitting at the back of the ladder and actually has a steering wheel back there and tills the back and steers the back of the truck. And so it makes it easier to get around neighborhoods that have tight streets because the driver at the front, he just has to get the front back, and then the tillerman in the back is responsible to get the whole ladder around the corner. But again, they're more expensive, and so you have to be guided by the budget.
Certainly this winter we've had bitter cold temperatures. What are concerns about firefighting in those bitter cold temperatures?
That is the absolute worst for a firefighter, the conditions that we're in. You have, obviously, we work with water. And as they open hydrants, hydrants freeze, the hose can freeze. You're creating puddles around where you're working. The ladders get ice on them. It's the same slippery conditions the citizens are facing, the firefighters are facing the same thing. So as they're pulling hose and getting ready to go to work, when they go to put their mask can freeze. So I can remember myself once we had a basement fire. And we kept putting our mask on to go down into the fire, and it was this kind of sub-zero weather, and the mask would freeze. So I finally told him, I said, just hold your breath till we get down into the fire, and then breathe once we get down there, and that worked. So it's just absolutely horrible, the conditions that they're working under now, and doing a great job. They've had several fires. We had 2 at one time, and they did a great job actually pulling a citizen out of one. And saving them, so they've been doing a good job with that.
I think, if my math is right, you've now been here about 2 years in Cincinnati?
No.
3 years.
This is my 4th year.
Okay.
I'm
a little behind.
Yeah. I was sworn in on January 18th, so I just had an anniversary here, so working on my 4th year.
What are your overall impressions of the fire department here in Cincinnati? I mean, you come to the city from Columbus.
From Columbus. It's a great department. I'll just start with the staffing. We have a wonderful department. It's basically, I'll have to say, it's world class. I've been around. I say it's my 40th year in the fire service. Our people are extraordinary. They're talented. Our officers, we have good officers, good chief officers, and the firefighters do a great job. They're very motivated, which is hard to do because we talked about morale. Even with the brownouts and they haven't had a raise in 5 years, it's been tight getting the equipment we talked about, but they keep making do, they keep training, and they do an exceptional job. And I can't be any more proud of them than what I am. They do very well. Our facilities, as you said, that needed updated. and we continually work on that and to try to bring us up to the standards we need and the standards to meet the needs of the citizens. When we built 35 in Westwood, one of the reasons it drove us is we needed a medic up there. It's one of our busiest engines in the city and where we have most of our medical runs. And the station only had one bay, so we couldn't put another piece of equipment in it. So we had to build another station. And now that station has an engine, an EMS supervisor, a medic unit. We were able to put the equipment in there that would more be helpful to the citizens in that area.
Cincinnati Fire Chief Richard Braun discussing the brownout situation, staffing, and other issues affecting the fire department. Chief Braun, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Archives of our programs are available on our website, WVXU.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our technical director was Bruce Ellis and Bill Dean. With Howard Wilkinson, I'm Jay Hanselman.